Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, what happened yesterday? It seems like everybody got rain, but my place.
Well, I didn't get any rain either.
Well, at the Buckmaster Bungalow, there was lightning all around us. A friend texted me and said, "Oh, are you going to get some rain?" I said, "No, we haven't had any rain." It just
you might have a better chance today.
Yeah, it's just so strange this summer rainy season. I mean, a couple of straight years we had all those very violent storms where the Weather Service calls it a rim shot, where it comes off the Mogollon Rim and just rips into Tucson. But anyway, maybe today. Today is Thursday. It's the 14th of August, 2025. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. They have the naming rights to our program during the noon hour, and I'm glad they do. I love Green Things. We're at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson. We have five radio stations operating here under one location. This is the news talk operation of the five. 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted live news and talk. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sean and the team over there do a great job. All right, and of course, all of our web program, our podcasts available. We try to get those up by the dinner hour. So that's at buckmastershow.com, also the place during the noon hour. We've got live listening of the program. Once a month, we get an update on Tucson Air Service. My friend Brian Kidd joins me now in studio. Brian is Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development. How are you, Brian?
Doing great, Bill. Good to see you again.
Always good to see you, and I always like it when someone brings me good fresh news, and you've got some good news for Tucson concerning air service development.
Yes, we do. Just hot off the press.
Hot off the press. Here it is. We're going to get some new service. May not seem to some people like a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Go ahead, Brian.
So March 5th, Southwest Airlines is going to add Phoenix, Tucson to their route map. There'll be two flights a day, Tucson, Phoenix, to basically all over the country, Mexico, Central America, Hawaii, you name it. As you all know, Southwest has quite a big footprint of Phoenix, and I'm really pleased that they see Tucson as a understanding that our local market wants to fly out of TUS, and they've responded to that. Which will cut down on the need to drive to Phoenix. They have always seen Tucson. I mean, it reaffirmed my belief that they see Tucson as its own market. And they've always said that.
Yeah.
This sort of puts their money where their mouth is, so to speak. And it opens up many connections, both, again, east, west, north, even south.
It opens the whole Southwest system, because, you know, they're hubbing, a little bit of hubbing up in at Sky Harbor. So just take a look at what that can do for folks who want to change from, say, San Diego or LAX. Suddenly you've got Long Beach. You could have Orange County, of course, but you've got Santa Barbara. And Santa Barbara County and Solvang and the whole wine country of the Central Coast, all of that is opening up now.
Right. I mean, they do, their biggest hubs, if you want to call them, are Denver and then Las Vegas. Phoenix is catching up. So when you are looking for a destination, you're going to see a lot of options on Southwest. They're just going to have a lot of ways to get you there. So hopefully the times and fares will work for the local customer. They're going to have more options than practically anybody for a given destination. So they should be in a good shape to help us retain our local customer here at TUS.
So we've got in March coming two flights a day. This is a daily service.
Right.
Have they designated times? Is it going to be a morning or afternoon or?
It's live for sale right now.
Yeah.
I will tell you that, I don't want to, nobody's jotting down the times, but I'll tell you that they have intentionally timed them to provide connections to their biggest connecting banks at Phoenix. So the whole idea is obviously to promote connectivity. So between Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Denver, they're going to be able to serve a lot of their network. With several opportunities a day, basically.
Yeah, because right now, if you want to do a connection with Southwest, you're basically, well, there's not many connections out of San Diego. You know, you fly over to San Diego, but of course, there's a lot of connect. You can go Southwest to LAX or up to Las Vegas to connect. This will really, this opens the whole Southwest portfolio.
You're going to have a lot of options for practically any city in their system. You're going to have a lot of options on a given day to pick from, even more so than other airlines that do a hub and spoke type of system, which is the big three here. And it's the big four now, but Delta, United, American, of course, run it. You know, you have some options there to, you know, American, can go through Phoenix or DFW with multitude of connections, of course, but this is going to give Southwest, as they are becoming more like the other big three, this is going to give them they have a fighting chance now against the other three network carriers. The more they've intentionally tried to build out more connections across their network, but even for us in particular. So that's they definitely are moving that way.
And their big day will be January, I believe it's the 27th. That's when the new Southwest rolls out, and this is a complete change after 50 years. You know, bags fly free. Well, they don't fly free anymore, but you can now
if you have a credit card.
And I guess with what would be the equivalent, Brian Kidd, to their business class, bags are probably going to be free because they're going to have the full segmented seating selling that.
And if you have their if you're a list preferred, you're going to have more perks. It's just going to be like everybody else. Even Alaska does it.
Sure.
It's become what we call a bifurcated customer base.
It's menu shopping.
It
what
is.
Do you want? Do you want bags? You want an extra leg room?
Right. They want to retain that premium customer. They want that premium customer to be loyal to that airline. Everybody wants this top five, because putting Alaska in there as the number five, which they are in the U.S. and particularly strong out here in the West. Those premium travelers are who they're after, and everybody else is basically going to be getting the I'm not saying if you're an infrequent traveler, there's probably not a whole lot of reason for you to be loyal to any one airline. But if you are a frequent traveler, especially a business traveler, I mean, those five airlines want you to fly them, as close to exclusive as you can. So that's the name of the game right now.
It's so interesting. It's serendipitous that you bring this news to us. And I just learned about it from you a few minutes before we went on the air, because one of my topic areas today was to ask you about how long typically it takes to get service, new service. And this is like, you bring us this good news, but it's not like you started working on this yesterday last week
and
with
Southwest. You also have to be cognizant of where the airline is and their strategy and their changes in development. I mean, 4 years ago, as we were coming out of COVID, Southwest was still a sort of a point-to-point carrier, but look at all the changes that they've done since then. So you have to adjust your goals to align with the airline's particular strategy. I mean, they all evolve. Alaska's changing. We're talking to them all
Huge
the time.
Huge changes.
We see potential with Alaska. Can't say much more than that right now. I mean, they've obviously tried some things here which were novel and out of the box, and they realized that Tucson had the potential to produce some higher revenue, which is sort of what they were looking for. Again, chasing that high revenue customer, which we have here in Tucson.
And they're making airline news, and that's an area that because I'm interested in it and I do follow your business, and they're making news almost every day, Alaska, because of the merger with Hawaiian, and folks over in the islands are not at all happy with the way it's going down. There have been some layoffs over in the islands, I think over 200 people at the Honolulu airport are losing their job. But the point is that Alaska has big planes. They've got big wide bodies, which Alaska sees as a way to open up Europe. And they're going to open up Europe. They'll be flying nonstop Seattle to London. They're going to go Seattle, Rome. Well, guess what? Delta and Alaska have kind of duked it out up at SeaTac, and Alaska now is responding, and they're going to do increase European service.
Neither one's blinking. It's Alaska's hometown. Delta's not going to give it up either. But Alaska's trying to become more competitive on the international space, which they really weren't until they had these aircraft that they are essentially repurposing from the Hawaiian acquisition, and it's happening.
So. From a personal point of view, I really hate to see, because I flew on one coming and going in May over to the islands, that beautiful Hawaiian Air, and the folks that were servicing us, they took such pride in it. A 787 900 series. It's a beautiful airplane, but now that probably is going to be the airplane they'll use to fly Seattle, Rome, or Seattle to London. I mean,
that's right.
Your business is just changing so much every day.
That's right. It's always evolving, never a dull day, and we have to stay on top of what's happening so that we are adapting our requests and our goals to match what is reasonable for the airline. You do not want to show up at an airline and ask for things that are just completely off base, because they'll not only not take you seriously after that, but they'll just dismiss you as being out of touch. So you have to
be realistic, right?
That's right.
But the message still has to be support the people who work at Tucson International Airport.
Right. You've probably seen our economic impact numbers. I mean, we're a huge player in the community, probably second or third to Davis-Monthan and U of A. And
Is it $1 billion?
$10.9 billion annual.
$10.9 billion.
Annually in economic impact. So it's, the message, of course, is when you fly out of TUS, you're really helping all of our local economy, because that contributes to jobs, it contributes to just general economic activity that we don't want to export to Phoenix. We already have enough trouble being sort of in Phoenix's shadow overall in economic development, and we don't need to. This is an opportunity for us to do something different. We can actually make a difference when you fly out of TUS. So that's, of course, the message to the business community in particular that we're going to keep talking about. And, we understand everybody would like nonstop everywhere, but in our size market, that's just not going to happen. We're in the shadow of a huge hub at Phoenix, and we hope that people understand that our ease of use and the simple travel we offer offsets the need to stop somewhere.
And to give people choices, like now having competition on the Tucson Phoenix. Boy, I was just trying to think, when was the last time American had competition from Tucson to Phoenix? It's been a long time, but anytime you have competition in the airline business on routes, you're going to do better.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I used to work for America West way back in the day when those Tucson Phoenix were America West.
That's right.
Into the Phoenix hub.
That's right.
But,
America
but
West.
Of course, the American took all that over. So that's where it came from.
All right. Take a break right here, talking air service with Brian Kidd. Brian bringing us some good news that Southwest Airlines is going to start in March twice daily service between Tucson International Airport and Sky Harbor. And the good news is that really opens up the whole Southwest portfolio with one simple flight up to Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch the Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Time for segment number two with Brian Kidd. Brian comes in once a month. I'm glad he does, to talk one of my favorite subjects, air service, specifically out of Tucson International Airport. And because the noon hour is like a drive time, people are in and out of the car. They're going to luncheons. They're going to different activities. And so at the beginning of our conversation with Brian, he gave us some good news, and it is that Southwest has decided they're going to give American some competition on the Tucson to Phoenix run starting in March. The Southwest is going to offer two flights a day. And on the surface, people may be thinking, Brian, well, yeah, it's just like, what, 90 miles? But it's all about getting to the hub to take you to places that perhaps you couldn't go directly right now on Southwest from Tucson, because right now you're looking at San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and Denver. But now connecting up in Phoenix, perhaps you want to go to Santa Barbara, you want to go to Long Beach and other Orange County, and we have some Orange County service, and we hope to have that more. But this is just opening a door, isn't it?
Right. You can go east on Southwest, too, to be fair. They have Dallas Love Field and Chicago Midway and Houston. The East-West is a challenge for Southwest to some extent, but they certainly in the West are extremely strong, and that this gives you even more options to, you know, there, we would never have service, you know, so Southwest serves 40 cities in the West, that we would never have nonstops to any more than a handful of those.
No.
And so, but now you have access to all of them.
Uh-huh.
And with multiple flights a day through either Phoenix or Las Vegas. So this is an attempt to help. It really is an attempt to help the local Tucson market stay in Tucson and be able to find the options that work for them at all days, times, fares, so that you don't have to do the Phoenix trip.
People are going to be noticing some changes at the airport. They've already noticed if you're driving into the airport, there's new pavement that's been refurbished. Speaking of refurbished, there'll be new carpets, there'll be new chairs. Also, there are going to be some really important signage at the airport. And we talked about this in our Reed Park Zoo update. And folks are wondering, what's the connection with the Tucson International Airport? Well, it's actually a good connection. You guys have joined forces to raise awareness and help reduce wildlife trafficking. So folks are going to notice some signage just to let people know, hey, about, you know, this illegal wildlife trafficking is awful. And just to make people aware that there are certain wildlife products that should not be purchased on your vacation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has the travel tie-in, and we have a large display right as you come in from the parking garage. You'll see it as you start heading up towards the ticketing level. It's right on the, it's on the left side, a big 10 by 10 type display that'll tell you all about it. So take a look next time you come by, and we're happy to partner with Reed Park. They've been to one of our key sponsors. We cross promote with them. Mm-hmm. We've got some presence there at the zoo too, so we're hoping to both raise awareness of this, and Reed Parks is a tourist draw for us too, so it has some airline applicability as well, so we're happy to partner with them.
So we're about through the summer air travel for Tucsonans. How was it? About the same as last year?
It's picking up. I don't have July numbers yet. So now we're probably looking at 3 months in a row where we surpassed our forecast, which is a nice change, as we were coming off the immigrant, the disappearance of the immigrant travel. I'll just say that, you know, now that's been a year since that pretty much ended, and we're perking up. I'm liking where we're headed. August and September are our weakest months just seasonally because of school back in and so forth. U of A is arriving.
Mm-hmm.
We see it. Curious whether we'll still have the same out-of-state enrollment as we had in the past years because of the changes of scholarships and so forth. So we're
with international travelers.
We are doing a lot with the University
international
of Arizona.
International
students,
whether they're coming back or not,
yes.
I don't know.
Well, we set up a table. We'll see how many came by. And we tried to give them a little extra, warm welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And we are big partners with the University of Arizona, so we are trying to do more to make sure that that audience, mm-hmm. those travelers, mm-hmm. parents, alumni, students all use TUS and don't do the Phoenix shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's a nonstop from Omaha or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How disruptive is this carpeting going to be?
We're doing it all at night. Don't worry, Bill.
No.
We're not going to make you do any jumps across bare tile or anything.
All the carpeting and the orange chairs.
Right.
Are going to be...
The lighting. We've even changed the lighting in the ticket counters, which you may notice also. It's going to be nice and modern LED bright. Not like the blazing. It looks really nice. It looks fresh, sharp, modern.
Good. I'll look forward to that because I'll be out there 1 week from tomorrow as I take a little vacation the end of August, right, for Labor Day. Hard to believe Labor Day is about with us. So what else, Brian, are you working on? What else is on your radar screen? Probably some eastern destinations.
It is. I've alluded to Alaska earlier. We are, and I think as we've sort of briefly talked about in here before, we are going to be making more of a concerted pitch to the business community to stay local and why and what is, and we're going to try to, you know, the question is, well, you know, what's in it for me? But if you don't believe, if you don't understand the larger message, we still want to answer that question for you. What's in it for me? So there's some things we can do. We haven't formulated everything exactly, but, you know, obviously we want to make it as even easier for that business traveler to roll through TUS. I mean, I'm playing around with a slogan that says you can be at your, from your office door to the airplane door in 30 minutes, which I think is actually,
it's probably
actually realistic in some cases. So
Certainly for the thousands of employees who travel from Raytheon, that is very true.
Yeah,
you could easily be at the airport in 30 minutes. So, you know, that's a huge, Raytheon's a big, big piece of the pie here. If we could get those folks to fly out of TUS, a lot of them do, especially for their international travel. They connect in Dallas or in Phoenix, but that leakage, and we've talked about that number before, and I'm always surprised the percentage of people. What is it? How many percent? 25% go up to Phoenix?
More like 35.
35%.
Inbound is even a little worse, but we local is a little better than people that are visiting. But it's still, I'm sort of surprised that it's even that way. But we, not a new problem, but we will keep working on it and trying to educate folks to help them understand the importance of flying local.
FlyTucson.com, right?
Correct.
Everything you need there at the at your website. Any final thoughts?
We appreciate everybody's supporting us. I mean, we're a big driver in the local economy, and we can make it even better the more folks help us out in that regard.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We'll see you in September. I think there was a song. See you in September. All right. Midway break. Rex Scott, chair of the Pima County Supervisors, right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow is, of course, our Friday Focus interview. Tim Tomier, city manager, City of Tucson, will be joining us. Boy, is there a lot to talk about with Tim in the wake of Project Blue. Joining me in the discussion will be Jim Nitzel from TucsonSentinel.com. The Buckmaster Show is in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I don't know, the green things were probably, all the green things that Green Things were watching like I was watching. Please, rain, come, pay a visit to my property. Just didn't happen last night. I don't know if they got any over at Green Things. But like everywhere around town, we could use it. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, everything you need for the garden, and then some. Zocalo Village, that part of the business, has the largest selection of pottery in Arizona. GreenThingsAZ.com, ZocaloVillage.com, open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome on the live line the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott. Supervisor Scott, how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing really well, but I know I was texting you last night to let you know that I might be able to be in studio, and like you, at that time, I was hoping because of all the wind and lightning and thunder that we were going to get some rain over by our place, but to no avail, my friend.
Nothing for you either, then.
Nothing. Not a thing.
All right. I read your op-ed in the TucsonSentinel.com. It sounds like you have no regrets about your vote in the affirmative in favor of Project Blue.
None whatsoever, Bill. I mean, beyond the increase in tax revenue, the capital investment, which would have been the biggest capital investment in the history of the county, the increase in jobs, not just at the site, but thousands of construction jobs, something specific to Project Blue that we will probably never see again was the offer from the developer to pony up $100 million to pay for infrastructure that was aligned with Tucson Water's One Water 2100 plan. And that would have included an 18-mile reclaimed water pipeline and a 30-acre recharge facility. So none of that is going to happen as a result of the decision that was made.
You called out the city council in your op-ed. Were you under the impression the mayor and maybe the council members, some of them anyway, were supportive of Project Blue initially?
The criticism that I had had to do with the community meetings that they had, the one at Mica Mountain High School and the one at the Tucson Convention Center, because bottom line is I just don't think that's the way we should treat each other. It was not just the Beale infrastructure team, our guests from out of town trying to share information about the project, but also their local representative, someone who's lived here for decades, staff from the city, including your guest tomorrow, and staff from TEP. And I just don't think that we should subject people to being sworn at and shouted at and talked over. It's just not the way we should treat each other. And the other thing I didn't care for was the criticism of staff. I have been a supervisor now for a little over 4.5 years, and I'm always tremendously impressed with the level of professionalism, dedication, responsiveness to constituent needs that I see from county staff. And I'm sure the same is true for the hardworking folks in the city as well. And, you know, I'm accountable for my votes as a supervisor. Nobody else has to explain them other than me. And so some of the criticism of staff at the city and county level. I didn't care for that. I didn't have any preconceptions as to whether any of the seven members of council were going to support or oppose the project going into the vote. I don't try and influence other elected officials, and I didn't have any issue with their decision, because I'm sure it was based on their analysis of the facts. But I didn't appreciate that the board was criticized for our decision, which was also based on our analysis of the facts, including information that we had gotten from the city's water utility and the city manager's office.
When did you first hear about Project Blue, Rex Scott?
One of the things I really appreciate about County Administrator Jan Lesher is that she keeps the board informed about pending economic development projects. And the first memo that we got on Project Blue was in February of this year, and then we had two subsequent memos later in the spring. As you know, Bill, I became the chair of the board in January, and it was, I would say, about a month after I became the chair that I was briefed on some of the details of Project Blue. The previous board, the one that was in office before we took office in 2021, had put a board regulation in place that said that the chair of the board should be briefed early on with regard to any significant economic development project that comes before the board. And I got that initial briefing just, I would say, about a week and a half, 2 weeks before Ms. Lesher's initial memo came to the entire board. So that would have been in early February.
You did point out, Rex Scott, in your op-ed that some elected officials had known about Project Blue and the fact that it was likely to come before both elected bodies since 2023.
That was my understanding from some of the reporting that we saw done by Arizona Luminaria and other local media outlets.
So where do we go from here? You did conclude, by the way, in your op-ed that, and I think many in the business community would agree with you here, that you pointed out the two meetings, which you called unproductive spectacles, have really damaged our brand here. Talk a little bit about that.
So I think we always have to be cognizant of the fact that when a meeting like that takes place, and there's media coverage of those meetings, that media coverage is not just seen and heard by people in Pima County and Tucson. It's seen and heard by people who are thinking of locating their businesses here, or site selectors who work with a lot of major employers as they're evaluating where to bring the businesses that they represent. And if you're watching and seeing some of the uncivil and rude behavior that occurred amongst some of the people at those meetings, you're probably asking yourself, do I want to put my staff, my workforce, through anything like that? And it might turn you off to coming here. So I think that is something that we have to keep in mind, is that we didn't put on a good show for ourselves. And not only in terms of how it's viewed by people outside the community, but again, is that really the way we want to treat each other? And there were, as I said earlier, lots of native Tucsonans who were part of those information presentations, including city staff, who were subjected to that kind of rude and uncivil behavior.
What type of business would be compatible? And this is something I asked Paul Cunningham. Perhaps you did hear part of that interview yesterday with Councilman Cunningham. I asked him, what's acceptable? He said, well, aerospace would be acceptable. I forget what I think he gave one or two other examples. What do you think is acceptable? What in this area?
You know, I don't know that I would want to start reciting a list of different industries and businesses, because I'd be afraid that I would leave something out. The city has, I'm sure, its own economic development plans. The county has our economic development strategic plan that was passed by the board 2 years ago. And we're also, we also have a contract with the Chamber of Southern Arizona, and they have a list of targeted industries that were developed several years ago in partnership with a Harvard expert on that field. So there's a lot of targeted industries that we could be looking at. I don't want to recite any of them because I'd be afraid to leave one out and therefore give them short shrift. What I think is important is that the circumstances of any potential economic development proposal need to determine the parameters of discussion, not just by elected officials, but by the community as a whole. And those discussions need to happen in a reasoned and mature environment where we can take the time to evaluate all of the benefits that may come, but also some of the other attributes associated with any proposal. And I just am hopeful that the city and the county will learn some lessons from what happened with Project Blue, because honestly, I don't think the environment in which elected officials were being asked to make a reasoned determination of costs and benefits existed. And a lot of that is because of the public process that the city put in place, but did not oversee effectively.
How should the community have responded? They felt they were being ignored by elected officials. How should they have responded?
Well, in terms of being ignored by elected officials, and I noted this in my column in the Sentinel, the county followed the process that we always follow with rezonings, and that included a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and a public hearing before the board. When the board had its public hearing, there were, I'm going to say, over 60 people who wanted to speak, and each one of them was able to address the board. Leading into that meeting, I know, speaking just for my office, and I'm sure the same is true for the other supervisor offices, we got hundreds of emails, phone calls, letters, requests for phone conversations from people who were expressing how they felt about Project Blue. And I'm not saying that the city should not have had the public meetings that they had, but because you didn't have the elected leaders who called for those meetings, holding people accountable for their behavior, the information that was supposed to be given in those meetings, the opportunity for people to ask questions and get responses, was overshadowed by all of the shouting and yelling and, again, what I considered to be rude and uncivil behavior. It wasn't the fact that they had the meetings. It was the fact that they didn't structure them in a way that made them productive. Instead, they devolved into shouting matches. And it just was not – if you went there to try and hear more about Project Blue or to maturely express your opinion, you really didn't have as much of an opportunity to do either because of all of the behavior that was allowed.
All right, let's take a break right here. We're a little bit past our break time, but we have another segment with the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott, who represents District 1 on the five-member board. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster, Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our Friday focus interview tomorrow. Tim Tom, your city manager for the city of Tucson. A lot to say about Project Blue, I'm sure. Jim Nensel will be joining me in the interview tomorrow. Boy, look at that temperature in Silver City, and look at it looking ahead, around 80 degrees for the weekend. It's really weird this summer rainy season. It's almost like the monsoon said, got to the state line and said, well, I'm not going into Arizona this year. I've had some friends who've been over in Santa Fe in northern New Mexico. They say it's as green as Ireland. They've had the most robust summer monsoon season in, some say, 15, 20 years. So then you look at what's going on here. Where I'm going with this is that if you take a three-hour drive over to Silver City, probably by the time you hit Lordsburg and take a left up to Silver City, you're going to notice a difference. It's going to be much greener, and it will be cooler for sure because of the elevation. Start your planning for that three-hour drive by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. On our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Pima County Board Chair Rex Scott. I want to move over to the RTA situation because we had Councilman Cunningham on the show yesterday, and he says there's real reason for optimism now that Mike Ortega, the former city manager, now interim executive director of the RTA and Pima Association of Governments. He's put forward now a plan that would ask voters to approve a 10-year extension instead of 20 of the half-cent sales tax used to pay for major transportation projects. What do you think of the two 10-year increments that he is proposing?
Well, let's see what is presented to the RTA board tomorrow. They have a special meeting tomorrow, and both your guests tomorrow, the city manager and the county administrator, are members of the technical management committee. And they had just come out of a meeting of the technical management committee yesterday afternoon when they joined Mayor Romero and I in our monthly mayor and chair meeting. And my understanding is that they had quite the robust discussion about what was reported in the paper about two elections happening, one in 2026, one in 2036. And I believe that will be a significant topic for conversation tomorrow and not necessarily a done deal. But I agree with what Councilmember Cunningham said yesterday. The RTA board divided on whether or not to end the contract with the longtime executive director, Mr. Mogimi, but they were unanimous in their decision to appoint Mr. Ortega to that role. And I think we're very fortunate that somebody with not only his knowledge and experience, but his unquestioned commitment to the community is in this role right now.
So do you think, bottom line, or just want to wait, withhold your judgment until we see what happens tomorrow, but do you think we're going to have voters are going to get a say on this?
I do. Based on what I'm hearing about what was discussed at the Technical Management Committee meeting yesterday and what's likely to be presented to the RTA board tomorrow, I think they will have a plan that they can vote to move forward to the Board of Supervisors. And as you know, they have to get something to us. I can't remember the exact date, but I think it's the end of this month so that we can fulfill our statutory role of calling for an election. And we have to do that by a certain date in September for there to be an election in March. So yes, I am very optimistic that there will be agreement by the RTA board tomorrow to move a proposal for an election to the Board of Supervisors in September.
Why were the promises not met, some of the promises in that 20-year period, and why were we so that huge amount of money short, some say even $1 billion short, Rex Scott?
One of the things I really appreciate about Mr. Ortega's leadership is that he has shared data with the RTA board and with the community that had not been shared with previous boards. I certainly didn't get the chance to see it during the 4 years that I was the county's representative. And we had always been told that it was the Great Recession of 2008 to 2011 that had caused the revenues collections to not meet up with what was presented to voters in 2006. Well, the reality is that both before and after the recession, revenues were not matching expectations. And so he shared that with the board, and they've been able to make more informed decisions about how to complete the remaining RTA 1 projects. And it will also help to inform their decisions in terms of the revenue projections that they put alongside any RTA next plan. We had been asking the previous RTA board to have that clear and well-defined data, and it's credit to Mr. Ortega's leadership that he has made sure that the current RTA board has that information so that they can make informed decisions.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott, thank you. We'll look forward to your visit with us in September. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Bill. You take good care.
Thank you very much. All right, that's going to do it. On behalf of Chairman Scott and Chairman Fairbanks, he's the chairman of the the Buckmaster Show, making sure it all works, right? Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.